Blackstone Audio presents Thrones of Ash, Kingdoms of Sand, Book 3, by Daniel Aronson. This book is read by Kevin Kennerly. Imani. She stood in the savannah, tears in her eyes, watching the men butcher the mother giraffes like they had butchered her own mother. Enough! Imani stepped toward the hunters. Put down your bows. You've shed ample blood. Seven giraffe carcasses, all mothers, lay across the savannah. In death, their necks rose as arches, the heads pressed against the ground, eyes shut, long lashes in the dust. Arrows rose from their hides, and blood dripped from the wounds. Their calves wailed, clinging to the corpses, refusing to leave their slain mothers. Several more giraffes were fleeing across the grasslands, and the hunters pursued, firing arrows. Here were no Nurian hunters, dour men in loincloths who raced barefoot across the savannah, hunting to feed their families, picking out only the weak and elderly beasts. No, here were trophy hunters from across the sea, men of Aelar, clad in fine togas and jewels, riding upon those northern beasts they called horses. They hooted as they hunted, laughing with every kill. One man stepped behind a corpse, kicked aside a wailing calf, and mimicked humping the dead mother. His comrades roared with laughter. The hunters surrounded another giraffe. The foreigners raised their bows. More arrows flew. The animal tried to flee, bleeding, crying out, nearly trampling her own calves. An arrow slammed into her neck, and the giraffe fell. Consul Cicero, enough! Imani stepped toward the lanky man who stood on the hill, watching the hunt. I told you that you may hunt the elder giraffes, the ones near death already. These are mothers. The calves will die without them. The Aelarian governor turned toward her. He was a cadaverous man. His lips were so thin they vanished into his tight smile, leaving but a slit. His chin thrust out, sharp and cleft, and lines marred his brow like cracks in stone. His nose was sharp, beak-like, and a ring of gray hair surrounded his head, giving him the appearance of some pale vulture ready to feed on carrion. They are vultures, Imani thought. Vultures who feed on what remains of my kingdom. Consul Cicero Octavius, brother of Emperor Marcus himself, the man who had doomed Imani's mother to death. But my dear queen, said Cicero, the hides of giraffes fetch a fair price in Aelar, and your little rebellions here in Nur, men in shadows, slitting throats and stabbing backs in the rat hives you call cities, are quite expensive to crush. He drank from a horn of wine and passed it to her. Here, drink. Fine vintage from Aelar. Enjoy the show. See how the noble beasts fall. We should bring a few live ones back home, slay them in our amphitheater for sport. Imani caught sight of herself, reflected in Cicero's breastplate. She was a tall woman of 27 years, her skin rich mahogany, her hair a mane of black curls. A golden tiara, worked with rubies and garnets, held that hair back from her brow. Rings hung from her ears, and chinkling bracelets encircled her wrists. She wore a kalasiri dress of white muslin, hemmed with golden embroidery. A pendant, shaped as an ibis, sigil of her kingdom, rested between her breasts. An elephant, draped in scarlet fabric, stood at her side, her dear companion Huko, once her mother's mount, passed down to Imani with her crown. She was a queen now, Queen Imani Kotika, queen since these men had taken her mother to Aelar, butchered her in their arena, and hung her remains upon that northern city's gates. Imani now led this ancient kingdom called Nur, this province of a cruel empire, and her tiara and her family name denoted her royalty. Yet she was no more a true queen than a wooden doll in a mummer's play. How could she rule Nur if she couldn't even protect the animals that lived here, let alone her own people, from the butchers from oversea? The horses thundered by. The Aelarians laughed in the saddles, puissant lords and ladies, their cheeks flushed with wine. They fired their arrows at another giraffe. They hit both mother and calf this time, then cheered as the animals fell. Imani ground her teeth and looked aside. I'll melt the statue, she hissed. Cicero Octavius lowered his horn.